Okay, if you've got a tomato, get ready to throw it. I'm ready. Someone told me when I was candidating, they said, there's just one problem. You may not be confirmed. We heard you're a Chiefs fan. So, but I'm here proud and bold, and I'll be watching carefully, ready to defend myself if anyone comes at me. So I'm glad we can have a little fun this morning and focus on what the Lord would say to us, that we can be relevant in our communities, not off doing something different than everyone else, but integrated and enjoying life and shining brightly for Jesus, even on Super Bowl Sunday. Today we're talking about dreams and visions, about running the race, and about catching the pass and running with what God has for each and every one of us. When I was about in my mid-20s, I had a strange dream. Really, it was kind of like a fantasy. So I had trained for 6 years to become an opera singer. Okay, you can go, you roll your eyes and go, well, that's weird. But I also then felt God's call in my life, and I was trying to figure this out. Is there some way that this could fit together? So I had this fantasy, I'd dream about it sometimes. I'd see myself in a country like Russia. At that point, it was closed. It was forbidden to share the gospel. And I thought, maybe I'll go into the country as a singer. I'll be singing on the stage, and then after the curtain closes, I'll sneak out at night and I'll pass out Bibles, and I'll tell people about Jesus. Maybe I'll be an undercover opera singing missionary. So I didn't tell anyone about this dream because it was just pretty much a pipe dream. One day, in my morning devotions, the voice of the Lord came so clearly to me. Now, it wasn't an audible voice, but it resounded inside. And he said, Tim, do you remember your dream? I'm like, yes. Very soon, I'm going to fulfill this dream in your life. I'm like, okay. And what do I need to do? Do I need to take a heroic step? Is there something big I got to do to fulfill this dream? And he said, you don't need to do anything. Just don't be ashamed of your dream and share it with others. Again, this is one of the few times in my life when it was so clear. So when people started asking me, what are you going to do next in your life? I'd reply, I think God's calling me to be a singing evangelist, maybe in Eastern Europe, Russia, or someplace like that. I got a lot of interesting responses. A couple weeks later, I was, or maybe it was a month later, I was with some friends on vacation, and they asked me that question, Tim, what are you going to do next? And I said, well, I think I'm going to be a singing evangelist in Eastern Europe or in Russia or someplace like that. And they proceeded to share with me, yeah, that's not what missionaries do. You know, that's not the right way to approach missionaries. So we listened. And just then the phone rang. And I answered the phone. And there was someone there that says, there's a group that wants to invite you to sing a concert in St. Petersburg, Russia. I hung up the phone. And I sat down with my friends who were telling me about your dream. It's just a pipe dream. I said, what was that? And I said, oh, I just got an invitation to sing in Russia. 4 months later, I sang a solo concert in the Sacred Festival in St. Petersburg, Russia with the St. Petersburg Chamber State Orchestra. Now, I don't know exactly how that came about. It was a mystery. But God moved powerfully. I'll never forget that moment. I sang the song, Give Me Jesus, as part of the concert. And this was to people who'd been locked under communism for 70 years, forbidden from sharing the gospel. A lot of them, it was difficult to be in church. People came up to me afterwards, and they pointed to the program, to the song that said, Give Me Jesus, with tears coming down their cheeks. They were asking me, Give Me Jesus. It was so powerful. And it was God confirming then the call in my life that, yes, this is going to be effective. It took a while later, but eventually ended up with my wife being in Hungary for 12 years, where we saw God do wonderful things. God fulfilled a dream and a calling on my life. Today I want to ask you, what are your dreams? What are the ideas that sometimes come to you as like, oh, wouldn't it be neat if? A way of serving God that maybe you're thinking, ah, oh, nah, I could never do something like that. Maybe that's too far-fetched. Or maybe feeling I don't have the gifts, or feeling like I'm just not good enough, I mess up, there's too much sin in my life. God wants us to catch these dreams. He wants us to catch the calling that he has for each and every one of us. It's a calling that will bring us life and hope that is fulfilling. Maybe it's adventure, I don't know, but there's no better place to be than catching the calling of God and running towards the goal. Let's turn to our scripture. Again, Hebrews chapter 12. It starts off, if you'd like to have your Bibles open, that'd be a good thing, just to stay either on your phone or if you have your Bible with you. We're going to go point by point and verse by verse. It starts off saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. What is this great cloud of witnesses? Paul, in the preceding chapter, he talked about Moses, about Abraham, about Joseph, about heroes of the faith. And in their own time, he talked about people who had laid down their lives for the sake of the gospel. When we think of this, we can think of the people who've gone before us here at Mount Joy Mennonite Church. You know, I found a file in my office that says history, and in there's a list, person after person, who've gone into missions. People who've gone to Tanzania, to Ethiopia, Kenya, Honduras, many other places. There's people who've served and laid down their lives in our community. And I know the fruit of their labor. I've been to Ethiopia, where the church has grown to be over 1 million people that was planted by Mennonite missionaries that went out and started churches. It got shut down by communism, but it flourished. The seeds they planted, the dreams they had, came into fruition. We have others who are here today who've answered the call on your lives, and you've gone and you've served. You've taken risks. You've given up a lot, but you found great reward. Friends, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and they're watching. In the heavenlies, I believe. And they're watching this grand adventure. And they're watching, will you catch the pass? Will you run towards Jesus? We're then called to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. What are the things that hinder us from hearing our call, that hinder us then from running, that hinder us from believing and pursuing God? Sometimes it's wealth, sometimes it's popularity, wanting to be in the in crowd. Sometimes it's simply discouragement, anxiety, fear. Sometimes we're weighed down by the broken relationships in our lives, the things that have not gone right. We're saying, God, where are you? These are difficult things, but yet God calls us, whatever it is that's weighing us down, if there's sin in our lives, things that we're concerned about or things that we know aren't right, we become entangled in lots of things. God calls us simply to cast it off. It means coming to repentance, saying, Lord, I'm sorry, set me free. It means asking for help, getting prayer. It means choosing and saying, Lord, show me the things in my life that are weighing me down, the things that are hindering me, and show me how, Lord, to be free. I'd just like to imagine, take those things even right now with me. If you'd hold out your hands, just say, cast it off. We want to cast off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. We want to be wary of what are those things that tend to creep in, that really hinder the work of God. Things like being critical, bitterness, gossip, slander. You know, in the Song of Psalms or the Song of Solomon, it speaks of the little foxes that ruin the vineyard. And so often in the life of the church, it's those little things that actually aren't little. The things that we don't count as the big sins that come in and ruin the vineyard and ruin our fellowship. We need to be on guard and say, Lord God, do whatever it takes. Set me free. I renounce it. I stand against it. And I want to walk in purity with you. This week when I was preparing, I thought, I know there's someone in this church who has a testimony that needs to be heard this Sunday. And Donna Sechrist walked into my office. Let's hear her testimony. Isn't that beautiful? And we praise God and thank God for the wonderful work that other women, such as Natalie and others, are doing and leading, continuing to lead the women's ministries of our church, which God continues to move through them. I was really struck by Donna's testimony. She said that Jesus appeared to her in a dream. She said she often used to stand in her living room and look out the window. In her dream, she was looking out the window, and Jesus was outside beckoning her to come. Where is Jesus beckoning you? Again, he was outside. He was calling her to move, to be in action. Jesus, we can use the metaphor again, is calling to us. He's also throwing us a pass. Will we catch it and follow? Let's see another little video. Thanks to you youth who helped put that video together. So as you see, it's nice to catch a pass, but you know what? If we just stand there and look at the ball, like, we're going to get taken out. Yeah. That's the way it is with you and me. We need to catch the calling and the pass of Jesus, but we've got to run. We have to be in action. You know, they say that a car, for example, if you try and steer the car and it's sitting still, it's really hard to turn the steering wheel, and obviously you won't go anywhere. A car needs to be in action, and then we can turn the steering wheel and we can go. We need to be in action. We need to learn to run. Again, it says in Hebrews, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we need to run. And we need to run with perseverance or endurance. In the Greek writings, this running, it also means to incur extreme peril, requiring the exertion of all of one's effort to overcome. So it's not just a casual run, it's giving everything we have. It says, yes, I'm going to train, I'm going to be disciplined, I'm going to run this race. It talks about endurance, also means steadfastness, constancy. In other words, it's not just a sprint. We need to pace ourselves for the long term. And in the New Testament, endurance is the characteristic of a person who's not swerved from his purpose and his loyalty to faith and purity, even by the greatest trials and sufferings. So the writer of Hebrews is talking about running the race with a clear focus in mind. We need to know, to kind of know where we're going. But there's one thing about running a race. When we enter a race, now I ran 1 5-kilometer in my life. I'm really proud of myself for this, by the way. I was more nervous on that day than when I stand up and sing a concert. But anyway, when it started the race, I was nervous because also I didn't know where to go. There was a starting line. There were hundreds of people in that race. And I'm like, I don't know where to go. But the whistle sounded or the gun fired. We took off. And along the way, there were markers that showed me where to go. There were people who were at the corner saying, this way, you can do it, giving encouragement and helping me go on. I finished my race. For us, we don't always know where we're going, and that's okay. Jesus calls us and simply says, follow me. Trust in me. I've got this. I will show you the way to go. He will show us the race that is marked out for us. We need to run the race that is marked out for us with perseverance. God has a course that's marked out for you for your whole life. Children, know this. God has a course and it's marked out. He's already planned it out. And he's saying, will you follow? Will you race? Will you get in action? Will you receive the call that I'm sending to you? Catch it and will you run? And I will be with you. When I have those doubts that say, I don't know where to go. I'm feeling doubt. I don't know if it's not clear. We can take comfort that knowing God is with us. It says in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. If we receive this verse, it gives us confidence. I'm going to step out. I'm going to go. I'm going to run. And God is going to show me. He's counseling me. He has his loving eye on me. He's not going to let me get off course. He's going to be there at every junction saying, this is the way, go in it. It says in Isaiah chapter 30, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, go in it. Our God is with us. When we fix our eyes on Jesus is the key. Again, back to our verse. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So this is part of it. If we're just sitting in the driveway or in the garage, we're not going anywhere, there isn't that opportunity for our faith to mature. When we want our faith to be perfected, when we want to walk with Jesus, action is required. We've got to be in action. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying every person here needs to, okay, maybe I'm going to go to Africa somewhere tomorrow. God has a plan where we are to use us to be significant. I love the testimony of Donna because it was simple. Go out in your neighborhood and start inviting women to come to Bible studies. And they saw women respond. People started coming and attending, and they saw God ministering in people's lives. The calling of God doesn't necessarily mean something, a grand thing that's going to happen to us. It means being faithful every day with those little things, learning to recognize the signs, learning to recognize the voice of the Lord, the promptings that say, do this, go talk to this person, whatever it is, in our jobs, in our schools, in our workplaces, in whatever we're doing, in our entertainment, in our sports, the opportunities are there. Are we in action? Have we caught the pass? And are we running the race with perseverance, with our eyes fixed on Jesus? This is an Anabaptist congregation, and the key tenet, the most important thing about our Anabaptist theology is that Jesus is the highest and fullest revelation of God to us. We focus on Jesus in our lives, and as we focus on him, we become more like him. There's a song that I think of because I heard my mom singing it a lot when I was growing up. So here goes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I think there's people here who know this little chorus. Sing it with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of old will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Our focus is on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because Jesus went to the cross, we have hope. He broke the power of sin. He broke the power of shame, and we have freedom in his name. We also have strength. He came as a victor. He rose from the dead, and he sent the power of his Holy Spirit to us to empower us for this race, so that we will have strength, that we will be able to mount up with wings of eagles, that we will run and not grow weary, and we will walk and not faint. This is God's plan for us, to empower us to overcome these things in our life, to let go, to throw off those hindrances and the sin in our lives, so that we can walk in freedom and fulfill who we're meant to be. God created each one of us with special talents, special gifts, and then he has purposes for us in this life. When God sees these opportunities, he's looking for someone who's listening, who will say, "Yes, Lord, I will go wherever you call me. This is the desire of my life, is to serve you. And Lord, I want to discover this richness, this joy of the calling that you have for me, because I know there's no better place and there's no place I want to be except in the center of your will. And I know that this calling, this center of your will, is the best place I can be. And everything in this world is like rubbish compared to this, Lord." Oh, how beautiful it is to follow Jesus, to fix our eyes on him, knowing that he loves us and he cares for us. This goes on, then it says, have we grown weary and lost heart? We're to keep our focus on Jesus and consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. Jesus had everything thrown at him that we've had. He experienced all the problems, all the situations that face us. It says, consider this, how he took these things to the cross and endured them, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When I was praying this morning, it just was clear to me, some of us are weary. Some of us have felt like, I've lost heart. What that word means, to lose heart, means it's breath. It's the word CK, which means breath or life. We feel like the breath has been knocked out of us. Things that have happened to us that we don't understand. Sometimes, like, God, I just don't know. I don't know how to continue on. We know in those moments, our God is full of mercy and grace, and he desires to set us free. He desires to touch those areas of our life and say, "Yes, I know, I'm with you." He doesn't have a blind eye to our suffering. He doesn't have a blind eye to our shame, and he doesn't turn away from us because of shame in our lives or even sin in our lives. It's not too big for him. The sins we can leave at the foot of the cross, and he embraces us and welcomes us back. He pours out then his love on us and invites us to walk with him. Will we run with the call that God has for us? It starts with the testimony of Donna that said, we come to Jesus, "Lord, is there sin in my life?" We also come to him saying, "Lord, these are the issues I'm dealing with. This is the hardships, these are the doubts, the fears, and the anxiety." We repent. We cast it off. We say, yes, Jesus, I want to fulfill the calling that you have for me. I want to surrender everything to you. I'd like to invite our worship team to come up. We're going to sing one more song. It's really a song of focusing on Jesus, of giving everything to him, and saying, you can have everything in this world, but give me Jesus. If this is something that's resonating in your heart today, I'd invite you to come forward. We'd like to pray for you, or you're welcome to come forward and kneel and just have your time alone with the Lord. Our prayer team and a few of us will be up front during the song. We invite you to come and find answers. Let Jesus touch your life to find freedom and hope. Let this be our commitment today, saying, yes, Jesus, I see you beckoning to me, and I want to come. I want to come with you. I want to walk with you. I want to know your presence every day. Know the sweetness of your presence and your gentle voice guiding me every step of the way, the security of knowing this is the way. Walk in it, my child. Let's come to Jesus.